It was early one cold autumn morning that Holmes and I were dragged into one of our strangest cases ever, an adventure involving Haitian voodoo and, of all things, zombies. I was in the sitting room of 221B Baker Street on that cold morning, the fire ablaze to strip the chill from the air. I had finished off a wonderful breakfast provided by our landlady, Mrs. Hudson, and was relaxing with a second cup of coffee and the morning papers when I came across a late article slotted in between the international affairs and finance sections. It detailed the account of a fire and warehouse in Canary Wharf. Many of the city's fire brigades were called, but their efforts were to no avail. The warehouses succumbed and crumbled under its own weight in the late hours of the previous evening. The article had been included so late that there was no more than the scarcest of details. It was at that point that my erstwhile associate Sherlock Holmes arose from his slumber and sauntered into the sitting room, resplendent in a smoking jacket and looking quite awake for one who had arrived home in the early hours. "Ah, Holmes," I said, "finally joining the living, I see." Holmes smiled and helped himself to a coffee. "Obviously, you're aware that I was home late." I nodded. I was on the trail of someone that I had presumed to be involved in the affair of the disappearance of the eldest son of Lord Langley. Sadly, the trail went cold sometime in the wee hours of the morning. I returned home to reinvigorate myself for another long night ahead. "A shame," I said. "Any other clues?" He looked off into the distance through the window and absentmindedly replied, "A few, but nothing substantial. The boy had simply disappeared from the face of the earth." He sipped his coffee and turned. Spying the open newspaper, he asked, "Anything exciting to relieve my mind of my disappointment?" "A warehouse fire in Canary Wharf. Scant details. Could be arson. Could be an accident. Could be nothing, really." Holmes shrumped, pursed his lips and sipped his coffee and sat down in his easy chair. "Then I will cogitate further over the Lord's son." He placed the cup down, clasped his hands on his chest and sat back, eyes closed. This was a natural meditative pose for him, or as I soon noticed, a comfortable pose where he quickly drifted off to sleep. I smiled to myself and quickly finished the paper. I snapped awake as the doorbell downstairs rang. I glanced across and saw that Holmes had left his chair and was nowhere to be seen. The clock on the mantel told me it had been an hour since I had watched Holmes fall asleep. I started to rise when Mrs. Hudson appeared at the doorway with Inspector Lestrade in tow. I shook the inspector's hand and thanked Mrs. Hudson. I also asked if she'd seen Holmes at all. She denied any knowledge of his leaving, so I hoped he was still on the premises. I led Lestrade into the sitting room where it was a tad warmer. He shed his overcoat and gloves and placed them on the back of a chair. "What brings you on this miserably cold day?" I asked. He looked a little embarrassed and went on with his request. "There's been a fire," he started. "The warehouse?" I asked. His eyes opened wide in surprise. I indicated the discarded paper on the settee. "There was a brief article in the Times this morning," I said, a wry smile on my lips. "Ah, that would explain it," he said. "What about the fire requires Holmes's involvement?" I queried, just as the man entered the room himself. "Did I hear something about a fire?" he asked. "Not the warehouse fire that you mentioned, Watson." I nodded. "It seems to be." Holmes indicated the seat and took his favourite chair. He sat back and looked at Lestrade across his steepled fingers. Lestrade sat and I made my way to the door to call down for coffee from Mrs. Hudson. I returned just as Lestrade began and sat down myself, a little flush of excitement within me. I always hoped that Lestrade would bring some case that piqued Holmes's interest. He began to relate the events of the previous night. "You're quite right, it was a warehouse fire, a big one, down in Canary Wharf. Arson, as far as we can tell. It burnt the entire place to the ground. The brigade got it under control quickly. We were lucky it didn't spread any further." "Any suspects?" I asked. "Just one." "Oh well, do you need it to help us track him down?" "No, no need for that." "Why?" I responded. "He's dead. They found him in the fire." "Oh." Holmes unsteepled his fingers as a question formed on his lips. "What makes him so remarkable that you needed to come here?" Lestrade wiped his brow with his handkerchief. "It's two things. The first is we know he was the arsonist because the flint box he used to light the fire was lying nearby." "How very strange," I said. "The other thing is, the coroner reckons he's been dead for at least 3 days."